Let's listen to our scripture reading from Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the early 1900s, there was a married couple who lived in a modest flat, Jim and Della. They didn't have much, but they had each other. Each had a possession they loved more than anything else. While it doesn't sound like much, Della loves her beautiful, long, flowing hair. It's almost down to her knees. And Jim's one pride is his shiny gold watch. It belonged to his father and grandfather, and he absolutely loves it. The day before Christmas, Della only has $1.87 in cash, but she desperately wants to buy Jim a special gift, something he would love. But $1.87 won't go very far, so she decides to sell something: her long, flowing hair. It's quite valuable, and she gets $20 for it. And with this money, she buys a platinum fob chain for Jim's watch. It's $21. At last, she's found the perfect gift, so she runs home and prepares dinner, and she's afraid that Jim won't like her without her long, flowing hair, so she makes it as attractive as possible, and she waits and waits for his return. When Jim comes home, he comes home late, and he looks at Della with a strange expression. And Della quickly tells him that her hair will grow back. She finally admits to Jim that she sold her hair to buy him the perfect present. Jim tells her there's nothing she could do to make him love her any less. And he reveals his gift to her. As she's unwrapping it, he tells her it was the reason he was surprised when he came in, and she opens an assortment of expensive combs and hair clips. With tears in her eyes, she tells him that she absolutely loves them and tells Jim that her hair will grow fast this year. Della then gives Jim her gift, a chain for his family heirloom pocket watch. Then Jim reveals to Della that he bought her new hair clips by selling his watch. Jim and Della both sold the very thing they treasured the most, and now they are left with gifts neither can use. In this moment, they receive something far greater than any gift's value. They discover that their love for each other is priceless. They realized how far each would go to show their love for the other. Now, this is a short story. It's written by O. Henry in 1906. It's called The Gift of Magi. The story ends with the narrator comparing this couple's mutually sacrificial gifts of love with those of the biblical magi. Scripture reading that we read today. And certainly the story we just heard, the gift of the magi, is fictional. But the gifts that these three magi give to Christ are all important. And it's a question worth asking ourselves, especially as we bring in this new year. What would we give to Christ if we could give anything? If we respond like Jim and Della, without question, we would hand over our most treasured possessions. For Jim, he gives up a watch that's been handed down for generations, that has a lot of history behind it for him. And Della gives up her looks, her long, flowing hair. In our biblical story, the Magi come from afar, bearing gifts for a king. They give up the comfort of home in search of a child. They take a journey to see what the ancient literature has told them about this star that they see in the sky, and they follow it in order that they might find a king. When they get to Jerusalem, they speak to the king of the land, King Herod, to find more details about where the star leads. But Herod doesn't know. And this is when they recognize that the king they're searching for is not one that any might expect. Somehow the star leads them to an unlikely scenario. While Mary and Joseph know the truth of their child, Jesus, this king is born in the most unlikely circumstance, especially to these magi, these star followers, astrologers, magicians from another land. These men show up, and after their long travels, they bow to the Christ child. And they give three gifts, all appropriate for a king. In their coming and in their gifts, they recognize the significance of this child. Gold is the first gift the Magi give to Jesus. Like the children all know what it means, gold is often the subject of lore and ceremony. According to one scholar, the gift of gold, even apart from its price or value, alerts us to something wonderful and mysterious in the Epiphany. The Magi make a claim that Jesus is worthy of a rare and precious gift and that his presence has cosmic significance. The second gift is frankincense. Frankincense is a mystery to most of us. It's sort of a resin, often burned as incense that comes from a variety of trees. Exodus 30 describes how it's made and what it's for. As the people are beginning their new life, free from slavery in Egypt, the Israelites make new preparations of how to worship. As part of these new preparations, they use frankincense as an incense to burn and worship. This fragrant substance is used in worship and signals an encounter with God. Herodotus shares in the histories a legend of frankincense. He claims that the trees needed to make frankincense were difficult to reach because winged serpents, small in size and various in form, guard the trees that bear frankincense, a great number round each tree. The only way to reach the trees was to burn special flowers, the smoke of which repelled the flying serpents. Herodotus also explained how people used frankincense. After battling the winged serpents and obtaining the rare incense, people would use it as a gift for kings or as incense in sacrifices. So historically, frankincense was used for worship and sacrifice. In legend, it was dangerous to obtain and so precious that it was reserved for kings and gods. When the Magi brought frankincense to Jesus, the gift certainly carried a proclamation about his identity. The third gift the Magi give is myrrh. One of the most powerful mentions of myrrh is in the Gospel of John. Myrrh is used in the burial of Jesus. Not only does it appear at the beginning of his life, but it also appears at the end. A scholar says it serves as a sort of foreshadowing of what is to come, like that ominous line in "I wonder as I wander," which proclaims that Jesus was born for to die. Mercy signals to us that there will be difficult days in the life of Jesus. There's another story about myrrh that comes to us from outside Scripture. It's not a true story, but it highlights how rare and valuable myrrh was. Herodotus again tells the story of a fantastic creature, the phoenix. He explains that once every 5 centuries, a phoenix buries its dead inside an egg of myrrh. There is something otherworldly about myrrh. In the passage from John, there's something ominous about its presence, something that points beyond Epiphany to Holy Week and hints at Easter to come. And in these 3 gifts, the Magi recognize the significance of the Christ child. Yet, it's not always so easy for us to do the same. Remember the gospel story about a man who loves his possessions? And he asked Jesus what he must do to inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus tells him to sell all of his possessions. And even though he knows Jesus is different, this man doesn't sell everything he has. We're all in search for love and peace and hope. Certainly, we can try to find it on a golf course or with loved ones or online, but we all know it's not in any of those places. The star led the Magi to the greatest king ever born, and the Magi lead us to him too. And they give him incredible gifts, marking the beginning of his kingdom. Christ gives the world a gift of immeasurable value. Grace and love and peace. If Christ asks us to give up golf or football, even though we treasure it, would we do it? Or if he asked us to give up our clothing or our family heirlooms or electronics or cars or even our hair, would we do it? Where do we put our love, our trust, our adoration? That's what this story is about. As we begin this new year, let's follow the star and the Magi so we can find Christ the King, so that we can find the greatest treasure, one that gives us love, peace, hope, and life. Now today, we gather around this table. We share bread and we share the cup. And I want you to remember, as you're eating them and drinking, the gifts that Jesus provides us. When the bread and the cup are passed, and when you eat and drink, I want you to renew your commitment with Christ for 2018. Commit to spending less time online, watching less TV, playing less Candy Crush, playing less golf. If you're a workaholic, less work. You get the idea. And instead, use that time to serve others. To share blessings and love with those who really need it. Schedule time to pray, to be silent, to listen to God. Take some time today or this week to write down that commitment for yourself and for God. And like the gifts that the Magi provide, this will be your gift to the Christ child. We've received the greatest treasure from God, the light and love of Christ. And as we begin this new year, let's follow the star and the Magi to Jesus the King and give him our greatest gifts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.